What's the young lady's name?
Abby.
Abby, can you hear me?
We'd been filming a corporate video in a colossal warehouse containing the Granny's Kitchen contemporary vintage homeware range. Whatever contemporary vintage means.
You're doing very well, Abby.
The paramedic leaned over the girl sprawled on the concrete floor. Abby had been crushed against a wall by a forklift truck carrying a pallet of 1940s floral smartphone cases.
Just breathe slowly.
Or what Granny's Kitchen product designers imagined land girls would have kept their smartphones in had smartphones been invented in the 1940s.
All right, Abby, we're going to give you something for the pain.
The injured girl worked at the warehouse and had been roped in as a supporting artist by our writer-director, Will Parton.
We'll have you out of here in just a minute.
Amongst a small huddle of onlookers was Trevor, a dyspeptic driver who, much against his will, had been instructing me in the art of the forklift truck.
What's going on? Why are you all standing around? Oh, good God.
Heather was PA to Managing Director Brian Tressida.
Oh, dear. I'm not very good around blood.
Her boss, the aforementioned Brian, arrived just as Heather wobbled, swayed, then reeled sideways.
Oh.
Whoa. Someone here. Someone help me sit her down.
Yeah, let me.
Put your head between your knees.
No, I'm all right.
Now do as you're told, Heather. You're very pale.
Really, I'm fine.
Heather was one of a few old friends who'd helped Brian establish the company back in the old days and loyally stayed with it.
Oh, that poor girl.
Everyone move right back, please. On three. One, two, three.
With effortless professionalism, the paramedics lifted the semi-conscious Abby and spirited her to the waiting ambulance.
Anyone see what happened?
Not see, but I heard the noise and found her.
Well, then you're the closest we've got to a witness. You better come up to the office.
I'll come too.
Are you sure you're up to it?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Who's the last person to use that forklift?
He was. Charles!
Skulking on the sidelines, truculent Trevor was very quick to deflect any blame away from him and onto me.
We were both using the forklift, Trevor.
Meaning?
Just stating a fact.
Well, don't state it at me.
That doesn't really make sense.
I'll show you what makes sense, Marcus.
All right. You better both come along. Heather, take them up to my office while I get some photos taken of the scene. No one touch anything. Health and safety want to do an assessment.
A lift took us up to the executive floor, and we emerged into a bland corridor, then entered a dull office decorated an anodyne shade of corporate monochrome.
I'll minute this, shall I, Brian?
No touch screen slate for Heather. Just pen, pad and shorthand. Old school.
All right. Trevor, you kick off.
I just did what I was told by... what's his name? The director.
Will.
That's him. He wanted me to show this one a few basic manoeuvres, so I did, and that was that. 20 years I've been driving a forklift without a single accident. He has one quick
Don't
lesson...
Don't point the finger of suspicion at me.
Well, it's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it?
As we're throwing accusations around, what were you doing in the warehouse when everyone else was
I
at lunch?
I was taking a shortcut.
Also a bit of a coincidence, eh, Trevor?
OK, gents, let's not overreact.
And how come you were hanging around?
I was having a smoke after we wrapped.
Not strictly true, but it sounded slightly better than looking for a quiet corner where I could have a crafty scotch.
Sorry, you said... Wrap?
It's film speak for finished.
Yes, but is it wrap with a W as in avocado wrap or an R as in rapper 50 Cent?
50 Cent?
What? Boy upstairs plays him a lot. It's a bit sweary, but Inter Club's quite a catchy tune.
Oh, right.
It's rap, by the way, with a W.
W.
For whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Getting back to the actual events, what time did you find Abby?
About one.
Now, if I can interrupt, only just for the record, Trevor was with me then, weren't you, Trev?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
One of the casters on my chair seized up and I was struggling to free it when good old Trevor walked past the office and offered to lend some muscle.
I bashed a bit of grease on it.
And it must have been about one because Mum called, didn't she, Trevor?
Yeah.
She always calls at one after bargain hunt and before the lunchtime news, which she finds depressing.
Right,
and I couldn't get a word in edgeways because she just got a letter from the hospital about her knee and she insisted on reading me the entire thing.
Heather, could we...
Sorry, Brian. I'm blathering. But these little details might be useful for the timeline of events if the police need to know.
Why don't the police would be particularly interested? It was an accident.
Yes, I suppose.
On the other hand, health and safety will be all over us, as will our insurers.
Sorry to interrupt. Just thought I'd better check in, read the filming. How's...
Abby?
Abby, yes. Yeah, terrible. Shocking.
Will was the video director, and the pound signs in his eyes showed he was clocking up wasted shooting time and trying to leave an appropriate pause before asking.
So, look, we can reschedule, but obviously it'll have a knock-on effect on the overall budget.
How about we move locations?
That's an option, but it's only fair to tell you we may have to add some time for the extra setup.
I'll be straight with you, Will. Some of the board think this video is a waste of time and money.
Oh.
But my head of marketing believes it to be a good thing for the company, which is good enough for me. Having said which...
Leave it with me, Brian. I'll do what I can.
Here come the people in grey to take me away.
That afternoon, we just had time to shoot one more scene. It had been a hell of a day, so I happily accepted a lift home in Will's I'm All Right Jack executive gas guzzler. We dumped the car outside Will's elegant waterside gaff and hit a poshed-up pub close to where I was houseboat-sitting for a friend.
You'd never believe this used to be a low tavern.
There was something gleefully fogeyish about Will's use of old buffer phraseology.
The place was full of mudlarks and cut purses till the media-moneyed classes moved in.
We were sitting under a signed photo of the Prime Minister, or, as Will called him, our glorious leader.
One sniff of gentrification and the landlord followed the money.
And now he's charging £4 a pint.
Ah. How else is he going to keep roughnecks like you out? Don't worry, next round's on me, and if you're very good, I'll stump up for some anchovy-stuffed olives.
Oh, I'd rather have pork scratchings.
Oh, of course you would, comrade.
What about this Abbey business?
I don't really follow clerical matters.
No, not that kind of Abbey. Abbey, the girl in the video.
Oh, that Abbey. I thought I'd missed a news story. Abbey, yes, that's terrible. Can't help feeling sorry for Brian, though. That's a man running scared.
Of what?
A massive insurance claim. He'd better not try and palm it off on me.
Why would he? It happened on their premises.
You don't know business people.
Well, I know people, and Brian seems decent enough.
Oh, bless. Does my reactionary heart good to hear you talk.
It's Heather I feel sorry for. She'll feel guilty as hell tonight.
Why?
I was there when she bit Abby's head off.
Well, lucky she didn't die of Botox poisoning.
Oh.
Too soon?
It looked like there was no love lost between them.
Oh, of course not. Heather's eggs are well past their sell-by.
Oh, did feminism completely pass under your radar?
No one likes the ladies more than me, but dress it up as you like, human nature is what it is.
Thank you, Naomi Wolf.
Unreconstructed as I am, it might surprise you to know that I wanted Heather in the video, not Abby.
It does surprise me.
Well, I thought a maturer woman would have lent a dull, sexless authenticity to the part, but... Ken insisted on Abbott.
Ken?
Head of marketing. Anyway, Heather wouldn't do it. Apparently, not everyone wants to be on telly. Who knew?
The evening was young. Well, adolescent. And as promised, Will took out a second mortgage on another round, plus overpriced olives. But when he returned, he seemed troubled.
Don't take this the wrong way, Charlie, but you did definitely shut the forklift down properly.
Definitely.
It's just corporate people are so litigious.
Whatever happened, it was nothing to do with me.
Okay. Let's assume it was an industrial accident.
Except, I don't think it was an accident.
Well, you just said...
Don't worry, you won't lose your no-claims bonus.
Well, then what are you on about?
That bloke Trevor, the forklift driver...
Oh, charmless sod.
Well, he was trying very hard to deflect blame from him onto me. And remember his prima donna exit when he came face-to-face with Abby?
Yeah, he scuttled off like an embarrassed schoolboy.
I wonder if they had history.
Most of the blokes at Granny's Kitchen would have liked a chance with Abby.
If Trevor had made a pass and she'd given him the brush off, he might have borne a grudge.
Aye, Poirot dons his deerstalker.
That's Sherlock. Poirot's the wax moustache and the little grey zells.
Well, they all come down to a detective, a body and a solution.
So if Trevor had been humiliated, he might have been out for revenge.
How many times have you been humiliated by a woman?
I reserve the right to silence.
And how many times have you tried to run them down with a forklift truck?
Well, I tend to go in for a coruscating aphorism followed by scotch and sobbing into my pillow.
Oh, there you go. It was an accident. End of case, Inspector Paris. So, are you up for more of this?
Overpriced beer or work?
The latter.
Always up for work. Always up for beer, too. What are you offering?
Well, there's another corporate gig lined up after this one, if you're available.
I'm available.
Look at the time. Frances is coming to stay.
Conjugal visit?
No, she's having work done on her basement.
Okay, TMI.
The basement of her house.
Oh.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Whilst trying to move the builder's digger, I'd caused rather substantial damage to Frances's house. And as I was already boat-sitting, the least I could do was offer her refuge.
Oh, hi. At last!
My heart fluttered to see her sitting on the roof of the boat swinging her legs, and I had the feeling that my little act of demolition just might bring us closer together.
Matalow, Matalow, where you go, my heart goes with you. Matalow, Matalow.
Well, I've been here rather a long time.
Sorry, I had a thing.
It's called a scotch.
I like the Breton top. All you need is a clay pipe and you could pass for an old bargee.
Is that your best line?
Not old, obviously.
Stop digging. Pass my bags up.
Right. Whoa, how much have you brought?
It's your fault. I've had to move out.
Mea culpa. I've been wearing sackcloth and boy, does it chafe. Right, mind your head on the way down.
The rest of my stuff's in the car.
Oh, goody.
Frances spurned my poor man's boeuf bourguignon, made with spam and cider. Instead, she insisted we get a takeaway.
And you're absolutely sure you did turn the forklift off?
Yes, Frances. Why does nobody trust me?
I can't think. Oh, can we shift along a bit? My leg's going dead.
Yeah. Pass the rice.
Ow!
You soon adjust to the space.
Back up. Ow!
It's actually deceptively roomy.
There's deceptive and there's delusional.
It's cosy.
It's the anti-TARDIS.
It's snug.
It's actually smaller on the inside.
You'll get used to it. More Shandong duck.
No, thanks. I don't think you should either.
Don't you like it?
Tastes odd.
Like what?
Like not duck.
I think it's all right.
Meat's not supposed to be fizzy.
It's a regional speciality.
Well, I'd like to stay on good terms with my region.
Please yourself.
So, where are the beds?
Berths, and you're sitting on one. Once I've cleared the plates, this living stroke dining room transforms into the master bedroom.
And the mistress bedroom?
I don't have a mistress.
Oh, Charles.
It's be lovely and cosy.
Cosy, yes. Jury's out on lovely.
It's a new experience. Allow yourself to open up.
The classic Charles Paris chat-up.
Hey, remember camping in Biarritz?
Oh, how can I forget?
Yeah.
Eaten alive by marching ants and harassed by gendarmes.
You don't want to get set in your ways.
That was never an option with you.
It's part of my boyish charm.
Charm, maybe. Not sure about boyish.
Keep this up and you'll get a taste of the cat.
Good, it'll take away the taste of the duck.
Blah!
Trust me, it'll be fun. There's nothing half so much worth doing as simply messing about in boats.
OK, Ratty, I'm too tired to argue. Let's clear the plates and get some shut-eye.
Yeah. We both fell asleep the minute our heads hit our respective pillows. And in perfect sync, we both woke up shortly before three.
Is it me or is the boat pitching?
You can't pitch on a canal.
Well, it's me.
Oh, me too.
Shandong duck.
Oh, please.
I said meat shouldn't fizz.
Oh, Frances.
What?
Help me get over you.
Emotionally.
Physically, now.
It's not
lust, it's nausea. Ow! Oh, headphones, quick.
Why do you need headphones?
Not for me, you. They're noise cancelling.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Have you got the receipt for these headphones?
Why?
They're not that noise cancelling. Go away! You're up early.
I'm filming later. There's coffee out here.
Just water for me. I feel weirdly lightheaded.
I'm starving.
Oh.
Constitution of an ox, me.
If you're frying one of your hideous concoctions, give me time to clear the area.
Don't worry. The Ferryman Cafe does a Leiterman stomach liner.
Nothing's going near my stomach for at least 24 hours. And from now on, no one's allowed to get ill. Everything's way too close for comfort in there.
Last night was definitely the dark side of cosy. speaking of the dark side.
Oh, I'm going to risk the shower cupboard.
Yo, Mo. Reduced any of your clients' fees lately?
Be careful who you slander on the phone, Charles. I might be recording this.
It's only slander if it's untrue.
Sometimes we take a little less in order to get more next time. We're playing the long game.
Couldn't we play a shorter, better paid game?
Some actors take off like a rocket, others climb gently like a glider.
And which am I?
A balsa wood plane with a wind-up rubber band.
A Spitfire, I hope.
More a Fokker. Now, much as I love our banter, I come bearing news. Do you believe in miracles?
Not the Woody Project.
Woody Project?
Don't tell me it's already fallen through.
Oh, the Woody Project. No, no, I'm still waiting for them to come back on that. They're notoriously cagey, but apparently it's a return to the 70s.
Really?
You didn't hear that from me.
So what's the miracle?
Will Parton wants you for another corporate. A director booking you twice is a miracle in my book.
I am a professional. You just make sure you earn your 15% and negotiate the fee upwards.
Mo is on it. They don't call me the Iron Fist of Soho for nothing.
Back at Granny's kitchen, I was in between scenes, so I went back to the broom cupboard they'd given me as a dressing room.
24 across, tit for tat. Two words, three and four letters.
Charlie?
Yeah?
Sorry, should have knocked. Listen, Heather's just come down from the office. Abby died in the early hours.
No.
I thought you'd want to know as you were the one who found her.
Yeah, thanks.
Damn shame.
Yeah.
I could see him counting a decent interval before he could get down to business. One, two, three.
The thing is, we've still got to deliver this video, and Brian's away on a business trip, so now I've got Ken, the marketing maven, breathing down my neck.
Death keeps no calendar.
Quite. Frankly, I could do with a drink.
I might have a half bottle of something somewhere. I'm a nervous flyer, so I sometimes leave one in my bag after
a holiday. Okay, Charles, yada yada, just hand it over.
And before you ask, I was stone cold sober when I was driving the forklift.
I believe you.
Payback!
Oh, what?
Sorry, crossword.
Oh, right. Well, let's get out of here before marketing Ken texts Brian to say where's swinging the lead.
Right.
The scene featured me as a genial, jargon-spouting forklift driver pumping corporate sunshine about the joys of working for Granny's Kitchen.
I suppose that's one of the great things about working here. Sure, it's a large organisation, but since they rolled out horizontal inclusivity management, it's given the whole workforce a real sense of ownership. You hear a lot these days about working as part of a team, but Granny's Kitchen's more than a team. We are a family.
Cut! That's lunch, everybody. Bag of two, please.
Thanks, Charlie.
Was that all right? I thought I fluffed a bit on horizontal inclusivity management.
Not from where I was standing.
Well done, chaps. Oh.
Charles, let me introduce Ken Colborne, head of marketing. Sorry, gents, my phone's been vibrating right through the last take, so I'd better check in. Why don't you take Ken to the catering truck?
Right. Sure.
Here come the people in grey to take me.
Do actors eat this much every day?
I'm on the 11-1 diet.
I don't know that one.
11 months of the year I eat as much as I like, then use self-loathing to slim down in the 12th. Of course, I make exceptions when I'm on location. Wait till you see the puds.
Better not. My wife says I'm piling it on, so I promise to be good.
How long have you been with Granny's Kitchen?
From the get-go. There was me, Brian, obviously, Heather. I suppose we must be doing something, right?
I'll say.
Amazing to think we started the business out of Brian's garage. But that's our strength. We know every inch of the firm, and unlike a lot of execs, we're not afraid to get our hands dirty.
And you've all stayed with the company.
Oh, I know it's a cliche, but for those of us who were in at the start, it really is like a family business.
Loyalty's rare these days. Was Brian always going to be the MD?
He had leadership qualities even at school, but he never forgets his friends.
It's hard to keep that family business feel going when you're exporting all around the world.
Read the mission statement. Making the impersonal personal. It's the Downton effect.
Oh.
The whole world's mad for British nostalgia.
Yeah.
Of course, there's an illusion that it's all made by girls in mop caps and aprons, not hauled out of a warehouse the size of Nottingham and packed into a fleet of 40-ton trucks.
I suppose Britain's always been a theme park.
Well, I can live with that. I used to wear overalls. Now I wear a suit. And sit through endless meetings listening to kids with MBAs who tell me we've got to drill down into the concept and unpack ideas.
At least you're riding out the recession.
Keep your head down, help you get through it.
Yeah.
We're about to launch a new product which focus groups say captures the zeitgeist, whatever that means.
I was warming to Ken as I warm to anyone who doubts the veracity of focus groups and demographics.
You know, Your overalls are way too clean.
Trevor says no one actually wears them.
They're mainly for royal visits. Not that Trevor would wear them even then, stroppy git.
He doesn't like me very much.
Now, don't take it personally. He's another one who's been with us from way back.
You don't happen to know if he and Abby were an item?
Trevor and Abby?
Hmm. I thought it looked like there might have been something.
No.
You know for sure?
Definitely. No way. Right. Don't tell my missus, but I'm going to try one of those puts.
Ken's certainty only reinforced my theory that something had been going on between Abby and Trevor. Still ruminating, I returned to my broom cupboard for some me time.
Charlie!
Oh! Are you determined to give me a heart attack?
Sorry. Should have knocked. I just wanted to have a chat about my offer of that other job, only I gather you've changed your mind.
Who told you that?
Your agent.
What?
Well, he's demanding a huge fee hike and says take it or leave it, so I assumed you'd gone off the idea.
No!
Well, don't get me wrong, Charlie. I'm all for talent commanding the fee it deserves.
Leave Morris to me.
The minute Will left, I phoned, but surprise, surprise, my nemesis of an agent was wining and dining one of his higher-profile clients. To calm down, I went for a walk and found myself passing the site of Abby's fatal accident. The debris had been cleared away, but traces of Abby's blood stained the concrete floor. Why had a girl from sales been crawling behind pallets in the warehouse?
What are you doing?
Oh, Trevor!
Oh, dear. Guilty conscience.
Where the hell did you come from?
I work here, unlike you. Why are you snooping round?
I'm not snooping.
Looks like snooping to me.
Worried I'll find something.
Despite Trevor's air of menace, the whiskey had loosened my inhibitions and made me reckless.
I ain't worried about nothing.
About to correct the double negative, a voice of self-preservation screamed, "Don't do it!"
You like to poke your nose into other people's business, don't you?
I'm an actor. Other people are my business.
Arse.
This time, I had to agree with him.
Why don't you sod off back to where you came?
But you've made me so welcome.
The voice of imminent danger warned me to shut up, but I developed Scotch-related Tourette's.
How friendly were you with Abby?
She was no friend of mine.
I thought maybe...
What? You thought what?
She was a good-looking girl.
You're just the type to fall for a devious little tart, but she'd have used you like she used all men.
Wow. You really didn't like her, did you?
About as much as I don't like you.
Would that be enough to run her down?
What's you're accusing?
Like you accused me.
You know, you're going the right way about getting a good slapping.
A good slapping?
The voice of Run for the Hills piped up. But it was too late.
No one says a good slapping in real life. It's a cliche EastEnders scriptwriters learn from other scriptwriters.
Yeah? Well, try this for a cliche.
Not the face!
Get up, you muppet!
What the hell do you think you're doing?
He attacked me.
This moron attacked me!
We was asking for it.
Have you gone stark raving mad, Trevor? Oh. Get the hell out of my sight.
Oh.
Let me help you up, Charles.
I'm all right. Oh!
You don't look all right. Come on. Oh. You better come up to my office.
Oh. Okay. Oh.
Get this down here.
Oh. Thanks. Mm. Good scotch.
Perk of the job. Not that I'm a drinker.
No.
I just sometimes feel the need after a board meeting.
I can imagine.
How are you feeling?
Well, a bit bruised, but nothing broken.
Do you want to see a doctor?
No, I'll live.
Charles, I can't apologise enough.
It's not your fault.
But
really.
Trevor's an employee here.
I'm not going to pretend to forgive him, but I was asking him about Abby.
That's all a bit raw at the moment.
And I must have hit a nerve.
So, you're not going to press charges?
No.
That's incredibly good of you.
Forget it. Really.
I don't mean for Trevor. If he goes around picking fights, one of these days he's going to get what's coming to him. No, I'm grateful on behalf of the firm. If there's anything I can do to make amends...
Well, you could pour me another glass of that whiskey.
I'm sure we can come up with a better thank you than that.
Well, there's no need.
I'd like to. Here, do you like tennis?
To watch. I can't play for Toffee.
We've got a corporate box at Wimbledon. Let me give you a couple of tickets. You can take a friend or a partner.
My wife would love it.
Right. I'll have a word with Heather, get her to arrange VIP passes and transport there and back.
Well, that's incredibly generous.
Not at all, Charles. It's the least we can do.
You left a voicemail?
I left several.
I'm answering the one without expletives. What exactly is the problem, Charles?
You are the problem, Morris.
I think you'll find I'm very much the solution.
First you accept an offer without negotiating at all. Now you're haggling so hard you could lose me the job.
Is that what Will said? Never listen to the employer. They're bound to moan before they cave in.
It didn't sound like Will's got the budget to cave in, so FYI, I've told him I'm definitely doing the job.
How do you expect me to do my job if you go and do that? You've castrated me. I feel emasculated. A eunuch amongst agents.
Yeah, we'll do that again and I'll come round in person.
I'll forgive you this time.
You'll forgive me?
But don't do it again.
400 grams of frozen peas, catch.
Didn't they have a kilo bag?
Don't flatter yourself.
Oh.
And I wouldn't hold them there too long.
One pain cancels the other. What a mercy I turned down that underwear ad.
Calvin Klein for codgers.
At least Trevor avoided my face.
A considerate thug.
If he gave me a black eye, there'd be no more filming. There's only so much you can conceal with makeup.
Welcome to my world. How's it feel?
Oh, numb.
I simply can't imagine you provoking someone to an act of violence.
Very amusing.
What did you do?
The guy's got anger issues.
Charles.
Well, maybe I pushed him when I intimated.
Intimated?
Suggested. Okay, sort of accused him of killing Abby.
Yeah, that would do it.
Anyway, one good thing came out of it. Somewhere in my wallet. Here we go. Have a look.
Tickets for Wimbledon.
Hard won by dint of me getting duffed up, so I hope you've got some glad rags in one of your many suitcases.
I dare say I'll rustle something up.
Speaking of rustling up, I'm starving. If I can stand, how about I knock up my famous pea risotto?
Let's eat out.
If you lose your money, great God, don't lose your mind.
In Corporate Bodies, Charles is played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Will is Tim McInerney, Brian Michael Burtonshaw, Trevor Wilf Scolding, Heather Jane Whittenshaw, and Abby Scarlett Brooks. Corporate Bodies is written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director is Sally Avens.
When you're out with your woman, the wife will be at home. Goody diet, cook any food, buddy, what you try.